Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to dismiss the kids to Children's Church. And while they're heading that way, I do want to talk just real quick. If you got a bulletin this morning, if you'll open it is this this week's bulletin? I think it is. Open it. Where am I looking at? I think I grabbed the wrong bulletin. I got grabbed last week. That's why I'm not seeing it. It'll help if I get the right one. Yeah, if you open it just one click, you're going to see a little sign hanging right there. Just real quick, that's next Sunday. We're going to do a special call church conference. We're going to talk about where we're at in the process of moving to the new property. We're going to talk to what we've set up as the negotiating team. But I want to bring special emphasis to number two there, because I know that's a... if you're just reading it out of context, that's a little bit scary of a recommendation. That recommendation says, recommending the church proceed to sell the back 20 acres of the 44-acre tract. Now, before we get too worked up, what we want to do is, as we have talked it over in our town hall meetings, and as we have looked at the cost of developing 44 acres, as we have talked through being good stewards of what God brings us, one thing has come up is it could be that God gave us 44 acres and has had it increase in value by 3, 4, maybe even 5 times what we paid for it. Maybe he gave us part of that property to use to sell to help build on the front part of the property. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that. I'm not saying we will do that. What I am saying is, a church, we need to discuss it. And to discuss it, we have to bring it in form of a motion. So I want everybody to understand, we're not trying to bulldoze through selling off part of the property. What we want to do is, as we are moving forward with figuring out how God is going to supply the finances and everything else to build on the new property, we want to be able to be sure that we're talking through things. And as we decide on this, the only way to do it really is to bring it in front of the church as a motion and find out what the church thinks. We have moved that meeting to 5 o'clock. Rather than right after church like we've been doing business meetings, because we realize there's going to be a lot of discussion, and when you're hungry right after church, probably isn't a good time to have extended discussions. So we want extended discussions. We want to talk it out. We want to hear from everybody. So mark it on your calendars next Sunday at 5 o'clock. We're bringing it as a motion, but the reason we're bringing it as a motion is we want to be able to discuss it. And that's the way that you get it out and you start discussing it. So if you've got any questions about that, I talked to some of our guys this morning who are, helping us walk through this process. I said, right now, do we have someone that's asking to buy the back 20 acres? Is there something like... They said, no. This motion is simply to say, is this something the church might be interested in? Let's talk about the pros and cons of it. Let's talk about all that and get it, and so that we can proceed forward without this big question mark. So that's what that is. All right, so now let's get to the good part. Let's preach. Woo! All right, guys, we've been doing a series called At the Movies. It's where we use popular movies as kind of parables to help illustrate biblical points. This week we're going to do I Can Only Imagine. Now, if y'all haven't seen this yet, this is a Christian movie. In fact, we could just play the whole movie and you would be incredibly blessed. But you can do that at home. So today what I want to do is I want to look at a major theme in You Can Only Imagine and talk about that. Now, if you haven't seen the movie or you don't know, you have heard the song because John just sang it. This song was written by a guy named Bart Millard. And Bart is the lead singer for Mercy Me. So Mercy Me has had, I think, 20 number one hits. And in fact, I can only imagine is the number one contemporary Christian song of all times. It's been downloaded more. It's been sold more. It's I think, double platinum is what they call it. It's crossed over into the both the country charts and the pop charts. This is an amazing song. And the movie is about the life of Bart Millard, the guy that wrote it. He came from a very abusive home. His father had a car wreck where he didn't break a bone, but he had a head injury that caused him to have incredible anger management problems. His mom abandoned the family when Bart was in third grade. Bart was abused, and the whole movie is kind of about how Bart works through this, how his dad works through this. And the theme that I want to bring out today is the power of words. The power of words. As we look into this, y'all have all heard the phrase before, sticks and stones can, but isn't that the biggest lie you ever heard? Isn't it? I mean, if I look back and think, I know I've been hit with sticks and stones before, but I don't remember that. But I remember lots of words. And as we think about the power of words, it just blows your mind what incredible influence your words have. In fact, we're going to look at a multitude of scripture today, because the Bible over and over and over and over again talks about the words that we say. Do you know, in a typical day, you will speak 16,000 words. That is like writing a 60-page book every day. 16,000 words. Some of you double that. I've heard you talk. Right? There are probably some of you that only do 8,000, but listen, there's people that more than make it. But a typical person, 16,000 words. And in those 16,000 words, the question is, what's happening with those words? I want to show you a verse in Proverbs 18:21. It says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death." The tongue has the power of life and death. Now we want to say, oh, come on, Blake, right? Does it really have the power of life and death? Well, first I want to say, how did God create the world? He spoke it. Isn't that interesting? He could have said he thought it. He could have said he just kind of made it, but the Bible specifically says that with the power of words, God created life. Now, I know if we talk about sin and we talk about the original sin, of course, Adam had something to do with it, Eve had something to do with it, but if you set up the dominoes that led to death coming into the world, what was the first domino? Satan spoke. Isn't that interesting? He said, you know, surely, Genesis chapter 3, you know, surely, you know, God doesn't want you to know about this. He spoke. You see, life, the words that we speak, the words that God spoke brought life, the words that Satan spoke brought death. The words that we speak, we are made in the image of God. And if God was so important, I mean, I was looking at the first chapter of John, and isn't it amazing? How did John describe Jesus? The Word. Now, the Greek word there, the word is logos. It specifically means to declare a thought. He said, here's who Jesus is. Jesus is the declared thought of God. He's the Word. And if God is so big on words and we are made in the image of God, how important are our words? Is it really life and death? Let me show you a New Testament real quick. If you flip over to Matthew chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 12, we've got this 12 verse 36. It says this, "But I tell you that everyone will give account on the day of judgment for every empty word you have spoken." Uh-oh. 16,000 words a day. And the Bible says on the day of judgment, every empty word you're going to be judged for. Let's finish that in 37. For by your words, now did y'all get that? By your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Man, it's important. These words that we say are important. What we say to other people, and sometimes we're so flippant with how we speak to people. Even though we see in Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. I mean, how did, you know, Jesus came to declare. Jesus came to speak. There's just verse after verse after verse talking about the power of the Word. And so today what I want to do is I want to use a few clips from this movie to illustrate how our words can be the power of life and death. So we're going to watch the first clip. Let's go ahead and turn out those lights. Go ahead and turn on the projector so it can be warmed up just a little bit. Yeah, go ahead and just kind of pause it right there. I'll set this up for you while that's, if you'll just put that clip on and hit pause. I'll set it up. So Bart, as I told you, his mom has left. His dad is raising him, but he's got a real bad anger problem. He becomes physically abusive to Bart. Now, his dad was a football player, so Bart tries to go out for football, but he breaks both his legs in practice. And so now he's looking for something else in school to do, and so he joins the glee club. Now, earlier in the movie, we see that music is very important to Bart. You know, he always has his Walkman on. Do y'all remember these Walkman, these cassette players? I just saw that. I went, oh, they're speaking my language. I can remember every camp that I went on. And we would carry a little satchel with us. And you open that satchel, and there would be all your cassettes in it. Y'all don't have a clue. And you pull out your cassette, and you want the fifth song on it, so you have to fast forward, right? You know, you have to, and hope you can stop right about the right time on it. But here's Bart. Bart has been listening to his Walkman. He's been exposed to Christian music, even though he's coming from this rough background. He joins the glee club, and the teacher puts him in charge of technology because he says, I can't sing. And so she puts him up in this room and where he is, he's got this sound system and he plugs in a Michael W. Smith tape into the soundboard and he thinks he's alone in the auditorium singing to Michael W. Smith. Let's go ahead and hit play on that.
This is life like no other. Whoa, whoa, this is the great adventure.
Hey, congrats, Bart.
What?
Way to go, Miller.
La.
Congratulations.
What?
Nice job, Bart.
You haven't heard yet? I gotta say, I'm a little jealous.
What are you talking about?
Did y'all hear it okay?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay.
How excited are you?
Dispenser!
No. What are you trying to do to me? I can't do this. I didn't even try out.
You can, and you will. And there'll be no further discussion about it.
No. Look, I am a Millard. Okay, you don't understand. Millards play football. Millards do not sing.
You have a gift, Bart. And in my class, you will be required to use it. Or fail. It's your choice.
Look, my leg is still in a cast. I can't even walk.
There's 2 months until the production. You have plenty of time to heal. Please stop making excuses.
Okay, I don't sing like that. That Broadway stuff.
I'll teach you.
Look, Miss Fincher, I like you, okay? You seem like a real good person. I respect you, but there is no way, ever, at all, ever, that you are going to get me on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
And so, what I want you to notice in that clip is that Bart didn't think he had it in him, but there was a teacher, right? There was a teacher, she said, you have a gift. She spoke words of life into Bart. You know, I'll think about that and I kind of go, you know, this incredible song, this incredible music that Mercy Me did, if that teacher hadn't have said, you've got a gift and you're going to use it, he could have just said, I'm never going to do so. He would have never gotten up in front of people to sing. She spoke words of life into Bart. And my question to you today is, do you speak life words into people? Do you speak life words into people? If our tongue has the power of life and death, then you have a choice, right? You could be speaking death words into people, or you could be speaking life words into people. Now, we've talked about that here a lot. I'm not going to go over and over again about how much we need to be a church that's encouraging people. We've talked about, hey, you should take time out every day to maybe send encouraging notes. We talked about in Sunday school how important Sunday school is because you get encouraged there to live your life. And I was just thinking, how? Because I like to talk about this a lot. How can I hit this in a different way this morning? And I found this verse. In fact, I found it just this morning. I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me this verse. In Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 4. You don't have to turn there, but you can. You might want to turn there and circle this one because this is one I'm going to start trying to use every day. Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says this: the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. I like that. Here's what Isaiah said. He said, God instructs my tongue. God, who instructs your tongue? Right now, it's me, right? I instruct it. I get mad at something, and I start instructing my tongue what to say. You know, you're caught in traffic, and you're sitting, you know, if we're in traffic, and you're sitting by me, you're going to hear me instruct my tongue to say some stuff to the cars in front of me. You're just going to hear it. We talk about this a lot. But Isaiah said, the Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. Now, watch what it says here. To know the word that sustains the weary. He says, God's going to put some weary people in my path. And he's already instructing my tongue what words I can use to give life to those weary people. He said, I'm going to be walking today. I'm going to be in a store. I'm going to be in school. I'm going to be at work. I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to be in my neighborhood. And there are going to be some weary people. Do you know you have weary people at your house? Do you have weary people at your job? Are you instructing your tongue? Or is God instructing it to give words of life to those weary people? How do you do that? How do you get God to instruct your tongue? Hear what he said. He says, he awakens me. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Isaiah said, when I get out of bed, here's the first thing I do. God, instruct my tongue what to say today. God, instruct my tongue. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be neat if when you got out of bed, you realized that you have the power of life and death in your tongue, and so you say, I'm going to take this serious. Today, God, please instruct my tongue that when a weary person comes in front of me, I can speak life into them. Man, I know at my house, I've got four girls. They're all weary in the morning. Sometimes I don't speak life into them right then, you know? But the reason I don't, because I'm not thinking about it yet. I'm thinking about me in the morning. What if I just started saying, God, I know that you gave me this tongue for a reason. And it's not to tear people down and speak death, but it's to speak life. Give me that ability. Here's your first challenge from this message. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you life-giving words. What if you took that challenge this week? Every morning, pray to the Holy Spirit to give you life-giving words. We know in Luke chapter 12, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. Why don't you take advantage of that? Somebody told me one time, they said, the Holy Spirit, it's like the key to your car. You've got all this power in your car. You've got the ability to rush down the road in your car. But if you don't ever turn the key, you never are able to use that power. And it's the way we are as Christians. As Christians, we have full power of God. His ability to change this world, and the Holy Spirit is the key. But we never take time to turn on the car. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you life-giving words. We're going to watch the next one, and this one's the harder one. Do you speak death words to people? In this clip, after Bart has gone forward with the play, he's been asked to sing at church. People are starting to see this gift that God has given him. And like I said, his dad has these anger issues, and we're going to see some words that aren't uplifting. Go ahead and turn off the light, and yeah, there you go.
You're up early?
Made my son breakfast. What's with the get up? Going to a funeral?
No. Just going to church, Dad.
Church. Sit down and eat. Come on, sit down and eat. Getting cold. Did you see this? Did you see that? Look at that. Front page. You look like a Pinocchio cowboy. It's a good joke.
So that's what I am to you, a joke?
I didn't say that.
You just said it.
Don't put words in my mouth.
What if I want to sing? Why is that so funny? I mean, maybe I'm good at it. The pastor of the church asked me to sing this morning. It's got to mean something.
He asked you to sing for a living? That's what I'm saying. You need to find something you're good at that you can actually earn a living at, because you're going to have to support yourself one of these days.
How do you even know? You've never even heard me sing.
Well, that's not my fault. All I hear out of you is whining and moaning.
Okay. I'm singing this morning at church. 10 o'clock on radio AM 1080.
Why don't you come watch me sing?
I can't do that.
Why not?
No, I just don't belong there.
Why?
I just don't. I don't. Don't belong there.
Okay. My boy Bart's. Oh, he's nothing but a big disappointment. I wish you'd never been born. Everything been just fine. All my problems are because of Bart.
Hey, you put words in my mouth, I'm going to put a fist in your face.
Yeah, I'm a little big for that, Dad.
Oh, you think yet?
I think those days are over. Yeah.
Is that what you
think? I do, yeah.
Listen, if you have to talk to me with respect, I'm the one that puts the food on the table, I earned a living around here, and I'm the one who stayed. I don't see your mama anywhere.
Yeah, well, nobody blames her for leaving, Dad. I would have left, too.
Now, in this scene, we start seeing that back and forth of those death kind of words. First, you see Bart start bringing back to mind words that his dad had said to him. Here's a scary thing. If we start asking some people in our lives, what do you remember about certain situations? It's amazing how many words that they can remember from growing up, from school, from, early, these words burn in there. And these words from his dad had burned into him that he wasn't good enough. And he was battling that right there. And in fact, we see that it's kind of an effect where those words burned into him so bad, he was trying to burn back into his dad. And there's that back and forth. The question is, do we speak death words? Do we speak things that hurt people? There's two verses in Proverbs I want to point out to you. In Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs 15, the first one is 15:4. It says this, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life." It says when we give those life words, right? It says, so when you speak in soothing words, it's like a tree of life comes up in somebody's life. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Now, do y'all hear the weight there? Do you hear the weight of a negative word? In fact, let's look on down to verse number 28, 15:28. It says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." It says there's going to be words coming out, and the righteous person is going to say, "Let me weigh those words." There's weight to your words. I brought an illustration today. This is what we think about our words, about the weight of our words. These are Lego blocks. How many of you have ever stepped on a Lego block? Okay, I'm not saying they're not evil or painful. I'm just saying they don't weigh very much. And this is what we think. This is what we think. When we say negative words to people, we kind of feel like we're dropping Lego blocks on them. You know, it's just words. That doesn't really hurt them. I want them to hear what I have to say. They've hurt me. I'm going to hurt them back. We just kind of think that our words weigh about as much as a Lego block. But what if I told you your words were bricks? And every time that you speak those words, that's what's hitting the person you're saying. You see, you're thinking it's Lego blocks. But the weight of your words crushes the spirit. The weight of your words hurts people. How do you handle that? Psalms 141. Psalms 141, verse number 3. David says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." See, David got it. He said, "I understand my words crush people. So God, this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you put a guard here. Stop. Here's your second challenge. Your first challenge is to get up in the morning and just pray that the Holy Spirit will give you life words. The second thing is when you find yourself in an argument, in a place where you're fixing to let a negative word go, I know this sounds silly, but just take a deep breath. And in that breath, do two things. Say, God, guard my lips. And then think, how much do these words weigh? How much do these words I'm fixing to say weigh? Now, I'm not saying you can never say anything negative. I'm not saying that there is a time that you need to say truth to people that's going to hurt. But I am saying you need to weigh it first. And you need to decide, is this worth the brick I'm fixing to drop? Because it's not Lego bricks. It's a brick that's going to last maybe a lifetime. And you need to weigh it first. So there's your two challenges so far. Wake up in the morning and pray, God, give me life-giving words. When you think you're fixing to give a death kind of word out there to crush somebody, deep breath, say, God, guard my lips, and consider the weight. Here's the next one. Don't grumble or complain with your words. How often do we do that? How often do we use this incredible gift God's given us to grumble and complain? We're going to look at a clip right now. Go ahead and get that one set up. I'll explain where we're at. After he had that discussion with his dad, he went on and as he sang at church, people started recognizing. They started asking him to lead worship. He puts a band together, called it Mercy Me, because his grandma, that was her favorite phrase. Oh, Mercy Me. And so he said it was a great name to name his band. They start traveling, doing camps and things like that. And in this clip, they have just been recognized by a Nashville producer that there might be something special there. And he's told Bart, you know, he said, you've got to, you know, if you're going to be a star, if you're going to be a national kind of person, he said, it's not just singing the songs, you know, it's being able to put yourself out there. And so he brings him to Nashville in front of a bunch of record label people, and they tell him, no. You know, you're not ready for this yet. You're not at that time. And this is Bart responding to the negative things that just went on. Let's hit that light and watch it.
Take very long.
So what now? What do we do now?
I don't know. Give me a second.
There's got to be something we can do. Just, I mean,
so let me think for a second.
You should take that from him out there. You're the manager. Do you not have an idea?
Hold on.
What is the next step?
Sometimes there is no next step, Bart. Okay.
Video didn't make
you just
it.
Ticked off just half of Nashville in there.
What's he talking about?
You know what? This is all there is? And I'm done.
What?
And I quit.
What?
No.
Wow, really? What about us? What about the band?
What band, Mike? What about it? They hated it. They hated all of it. They hated us.
I'm done.
Sorry to disappoint.
Can I come in, or you want to sulk a little longer?
Yeah, I love Trace Atkins. I love that part.
You want to soak a little longer.
I know, I sound just like him. Yeah, in this clip, what we see is God is moving Bart to somewhere, right? In fact, he's blessed Bart incredibly. Not only did he come from an abusive home, but now he's a worship leader, and they're traveling all around doing camps and things like that, sharing Christ with people. Incredible. He's actually been recognized by a Nashville manager and been put in front of record labels, something that most people never get the opportunity. But in that travel, God was saying, hey, you're going to need to listen to these words these people are giving you. And instead of going, hey, this is part of the process, this is part of my journey, instead, when it got hard, he started to grumble. He started to complain. Pulling back and looking at it from our viewpoint, we're going, what are you grumbling about, right? You're serving God. You've got potential that other people don't have. You've got opportunities that no one has. What are you grumbling about? But when you're in the moment, isn't it easy to grumble? I heard a story about a monk. He was in this monastery. You could only speak two words every year. That's all he got, two words. And in the first year, he's at this monastery, and he gets to speak his two words. So he goes to the head of the monastery. I don't know, what would you call it? The head monk. Head monk guy. And he says this to him. He said, bed hard. And that was it. The next year, same thing, he gets two words. He goes to the head guy at the monastery and he goes, food bad. That's it. Last year, 3 years in, he goes to the head monk and he gets his two words and he says, I quit. And the head monk looked at him and he said, well, I was expecting that. You've been complaining since the day you walked into this place. Isn't that weird? I mean, we've got all these things happening in our life, but all of a sudden, it just happens that we start complaining, and we start complaining, and we start complaining. In fact, when we start complaining, we frame our life with those complaints, don't we? And we're like Bart. God could be blessing the mess out of us, but we frame them with our complaints, and we see what God has for good as something bad. I want to take you to Numbers. Isn't that, I bet you haven't been preached from Numbers in a while. Numbers. That's way at the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. I left out Leviticus in there. In Numbers 21, it says, it's talking about the people of Egypt, of Israel. We talked about them going into the promised land. This was a little bit before then. They come out of Egypt. They're wandering around in the desert, heading towards the promised land. And also, God's feeding them with manna. Y'all remember that? And all of a sudden, it says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. The people of God heading to the promised land grew impatient. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. We detest this miserable food. It's manna showing up from heaven every morning. And they said, we detest it. They said, I'm hungry, God. There's not enough food. I'm thirsty, God. There's not enough water. We're tired, God. Now, once again, we can step back and go, he just delivered you from Egypt out of slavery. He just had you cross the Red Sea where he pushed water back and you crossed on dry land and your enemies were destroyed. You're heading to the promised land, but you just got this journey to take. But to them, in the middle of it, there's not enough water. There's not enough food. We're tired. They became grumblers and complainers in the middle of this incredible thing that God was doing to them. Watch what happens. It says, then the Lord sent venomous snakes. Y'all know my love for snakes. Venomous snakes among them, they bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. All right. We said, your words have the power of life and death. And suddenly we get this picture. Did y'all see the progression? The progression was they were irritated, right? And irritation led to grumbling. And grumbling led to a lower trust of God. Right? God, we don't think you know what you're doing here. Moses, we don't think you know what you're doing here. That grumbling led to that. That opened the doors for snakes to come into their life. And the snakes brought death. Are we opening the door for snakes? Are we? Are you a grumbler? Are you a complainer? I'm not trying to judge because, you know, if I point one finger at you, I got, you know, three or four pointing back at me. It's this thought that we don't think our words are that important. We don't think our complaining really means that much. But here's what God says. He said, that's going to bring death to you. You need to watch what you're doing. You need to watch what you're saying. I'm going to kind of tell you this. This happened to me the other day. I was riding around with somebody that didn't go to our church, and I was telling him some of this good stuff that went on here at the church. He said, what's going on at Waller Baptist? And I said, oh, man, you know, we had this great VBS, and we had kids get saved at the Vacation Bible School. After that, we had a Sunday, and some of those families actually came back to church, and we had like a waffle kind of breakfast for them. I said, that was just really neat seeing those families come back. And I said, then we had a mission trip that went down to Mexico, and we had like other churches that because we were doing this, these other churches were coming along with us, and we saw people, you know, getting saved and ministered to in a foreign country, all because of what's going on at our church. I said, you know, just incredible stuff. I said, we had two camps. We had like, you know, 25 kids going one way and 15 or 20, and kids got saved at camp. And I said, it's all because people gave money, and we had this incredible fundraiser where people were actually buying tables but paying for kids to go and hear about Jesus Christ. And I said, that was incredible. I said, the month of July, we were 20% higher in our attendance than we were in June. And he looked at me and said, well, I'll tell you what I heard about Waller Baptist. And he told me two negative things. And I just looked and I just went, and I talked about them. I mean, you know, there were, I'm not going to say there was truth in each of them, but I can understand, you know, where someone might say something like that. I'm not even going to tell you what they were. It just kind of, but I just went, somebody came out of here. I'm not blaming you guys, because like I said, I do it too. But somebody came out of here, instead of going, let me tell you what God's doing in our church. Let me tell you about the journey we're going on. Instead of talking about that, they started talking about that on this journey, sometimes it gets uncomfortable. And they were focusing on the uncomfortable. You know, they weren't lying. I think they were misinterpreting some things. But even if you misinterpret it, don't go out complaining. When you're on a way with God, it's going to get hard sometimes. But what we've got to do is we've got to frame it and say, what's God doing? And therefore, I can get through the hard times. I'm going to do it God's way, even though it might conflict a little bit with my way sometimes. And listen, as we complain, we open the door for snakes. We open the door for snakes. And it leads to death. And I love you guys. And I just want us to be that church where we're going out. And look, I'm not saying don't say, all right, we have to do exactly what Blake says. We've got to do exactly what the staff says. We've got to do exactly what whatever it is. I'm not saying that. Like I said, next week we want to come in here and have a conversation. But I'm scared to death you're going to go out this week and say, we're fixing to sell off 20 acres out there. This church is just going to, you know. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's go on this journey together and let's talk through some things and let's see if we can encourage each other instead of discouraging. Philippians 2:14-15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Watch this. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Here's what he said. He said, if you're not grumbling and arguing, you suddenly become a star shining for God that attracts people. I got a phone call Saturday. Doing something. I think I'm driving somewhere. I pick up the phone and it's Ed Flores. Yes, it was. Now, Ed's been in the hospital this week. I thought Ed was fixing to give me an update. And so, you know, I'm driving, and I hit, you know, I answer the phone, Siri, or whatever, and then, you know, answer, and it's, you know, I didn't have it up here. I'm hands-free. And I talked to Ed, and Ed said, he said, Blake, he said, tell me again about August the 19th. And I'm going, Ed, what, you know, okay, I'll tell you about August. And he said, I need to know the times of August the 19th. I'm going, okay, Ed, August 19th, we're going to have a magician here who's going to kind of do a thing for our Sunday school class because we want kids to be excited on that day to come to Sunday school. We're going to have, you know, neat things for families. We're going to give away backpacks. After church, we're going to have hot dogs. I said, we're doing it so that a family out in that community might come to our church that day and hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And I said, why do you want to know? He said, well, I'm at Arlen's and I see two families over there with kids and I want to walk over there and tell them about our church. He's a light, right? Ranchitos, I'm sorry. In the Arlen Shopping Center. He said, I'm not going to be a grumbler and a complainer. I'm not going to go out and say, these are the negative things going. What I want to be is I want to be a light in our community. Man, what if we all did that? What if we went out there and just said, let's shine. I'm not saying it's perfect in here, folks. Please hear me. It's not perfect in here. I'm here. Thank you. But what I am saying is we have a choice of life words or death words. Amen? Amen. And if we choose life words, it could totally revolutionize what God's doing in our church. But if we choose death words, it'll kill us. The snakes will come in. Woo, I'm preaching now. Here's your challenge on that one. Find one opportunity to be a light this week. Find one opportunity. When that grumbling starts coming on your lips, just say, no, I'm going to be a light. Now in this last clip, we've got, you know, he's come back from meeting with these producers. And Trace Atkins, the character he plays, tells him, son, there's something that's distracting you in your life, and it's his relationship with his dad. His dad is dying of cancer now, and he comes back, and he rebuilds that relationship with his dad, and what he finds is somewhere in that span of when he left, being abused verbally, physically, and this point where his dad's on his deathbed, that his dad has been miraculously changed by Jesus Christ. And we see this on kind of a deathbed scene. So if we'll go ahead and turn off those lights and let's watch this real quick.
I was listening, Bart. I was listening to you on the radio. Because he'd sing and I'd listen to every word. And then you'd finish and then I'd listen to what they were talking about there at church. That's what saved me. I was real proud of you. I was real proud. I told you not to follow your dreams. But that's only because mine, they never came true. But you're not me. You're not like me. You have a gift. Real gift. I want to take care of your part. God sent me for you, Bert. Here. I want to. I never made much money, but I have my life insurance and I tried to save everything I could. And I want you to have that so you can pay attention to your singing. And you'll get a check every month so you can go chase your dream. And I want you to gets it. Don't you ever look back. You promise?
I promise.
You sing a song, son. I'm sleepy. Sing.
Amazing grace. How sweet.
So in this, what we see is that him and his dad have come back together. His dad is speaking words of life, right? It's that beautiful point. After this story, after his father passes away, he said he goes out and he starts looking through his journal to try to write a song to kind of finish an album off. And that's when he said, within 10 minutes, he has written the entire song, I Can Only Imagine, because he said this. And you hear in I Can Only Imagine, he's talking about how great God is and how incredible it's going to be when he's face to face with Jesus in heaven because of how great he is. And he said, the reason I wrote that song, because I knew my dad was there, but B, he said, I saw Jesus Christ change a monster into a man I want to be like. And he said, when I understood how incredibly powerful God is, that he could change my dad, he said, those words just came out of me. I think about this story where he said, the dad said, I listened to the radio. And if you heard it, he said, the words that were spoken changed me. And it wasn't the words, but it was that Jesus, through that pastor, over that radio, was preaching truth. And the last thing is, have you ever spoken words that lead to eternal life? Have you ever spoken those words? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that incredible? And the most important decision... The most important thing in your entire life, God says, use your mouth. Say those words. And that's what's going to lead to life. As we close today, we're going to show the last 5 minutes of him singing on stage, I Can Only Imagine. So you'll see it up on the screen. But we're also going to use that as our invitation time. Maybe today, God's touched your heart and maybe you said, man, there's some words I've said to some family members that I need to go back and apologize for. I've seen the weight of those words. Maybe you've been grumbling and complaining, and during this invitation time, you need to just say, hey, God, I need extra strength today. I need the Holy Spirit to come in and give me words of life rather than death. And maybe this is a time where you can think about that. Maybe you've never spoken those words of eternal life. And I'm going to be down front, and I'd love to tell you, I'd love to be here when you speak them, pray for you, and encourage you with my words. During this invitation, whatever God lays on your heart, you can hit those lights so that you can see it. This is Bart. He thought Amy Grant was going to sing the song. And she's just called him up on stage, and this is the first time he sung it in front of a crowd. Go ahead and play that. And we'll enter into a time of invitation.
This is for my dad.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory,
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I step in your presence, or to my knees, or will I can only imagine.
Tell someone you love them as you're leaving. Remember, your words are encouraging and you can use them to lift people up today. Hey, in the back, I want to remind y'all, we're doing that fundraiser for Angie. So in the back, there's some sign-ups, some t-shirts and things like that. That's a family that needs lots of encouragement. So let's encourage Angie and Joel and that whole family as they're going through a real hard time. We've got lots of other hurting people in the